Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution.
Welcome.
Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Shalom, shalom. It's been a busy week, I bet, for most of you. And hopefully for some of you, you've been taking in the energy from the winter solstice and doing less. I'm Viata, your host today. And this is a special day for the universe, as many people around the world are preparing to celebrate what they believe is the birth of a man who came to the planet Earth to save humanity. Now, that's the belief of some. Some people just believe that the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach, is still alive and well in the minds of many, bringing us to a heightened consciousness. Because Messiah is a word that indicates anointing, the anointing, Messiah, Mashiach. HaMashiach means in Hebrew, the anointed one. So if we take in the ancient meaning of the Christ child, the Christ man, we really are talking about a higher consciousness or an anointing. An anointing just means that you've been empowered by the Spirit of the Creator to do good things, great things, because the Christ in the New Testament says that we would be doing even greater things than he did. So what's written in the Bible, and that's what this weekend is all about, is a biblical presentation for the most part. I know the Quran speaks of a Messiah as well. And we're going to hear tomorrow, in fact, from Mama D's show on wisdom about the women who were missed in this story. So you're going to really enjoy that show tomorrow more at noon. But for today, as we many people prepare with candles and church services on the eve of the Christ Mass, a totally Roman Catholic word, Christ Mass, the whole message is about peace and welcoming in an anointing, a powerful energy from the Most High Creator to give you what you need to do on this planet, give you the juice and the power that you need to navigate the journey on this planet in this vessel of love. That's a beautiful thought in my mind, that we have been given the power to navigate this very challenging journey, especially this year. I know many of us are glad to see this year in, and hopefully 2022 just carries with it new paradigm, new energy. In fact, I was reading this morning in my Along the Path of Enlightenment that I'd like to share with you. The person who has found inner peace can no longer be intimidated, controlled, manipulated, or programmed. In this state, one is invulnerable to the threats of the world and therefore has mastered life. And that's what this journey is about all year, every day, is mastering this life and not being triggered and not reacting to all the words that people have to say. It's not about taking in other people's energy and having it depress you or cause you to quit something. It's all about mastering your emotions, your health, and your well-being. That's what this show is all about. We're here to become masters of our health and well-being. So we want to start out, as we do every Friday morning, with rolling these joints, from the neck joints, the shoulder joints, the elbow joints, the wrist joints, the knee joints, ankle joints, hip joints. We do it all. We get high on life. We're not rolling up those papers like we did in the 60s, 70s, and 80s. But we are mastering this body. This is about mastering our human vessel, this vessel of love, this vessel of love. So welcome, welcome, welcome. We play the music by the Sounds of Blackness called Time for Healing, because it seems like every week, every day is a time for healing. We have not reached perfection yet. As this reading stated, we are on a journey to master life and get rid of the intimidations, the controlling atmosphere, the manipulation, the programming. We have really been experiencing a lot of controlling energy from the tyrannical leaders of our day. And so that's why I love preparing this Friday morning health and well-being show, so that we can come out of that energy for a while, if you haven't already, and get into more empowering energy, self-love. Because one thing for sure, this whole year and the year last year was all about fear-mongering, in my opinion. And I wonder what you're thinking about that as we close out 2021. Have you believed or come to believe that this really, all this scare about a virus and corona and all that was really just fear-mongering? And what's the opposite of fear? What brings about an end to fear is love. Loving yourself more, loving the Creator more, who put this body together in the womb for 9 months, and coming to love the experience in the womb as a masterful, great production machine, manufacturing process. We were in the womb for 9 months. That was a great energy of masterful production and manufacturing. So let us begin this morning with loving ourselves and rolling these mechanical human biological parts that will bring us to better health and more awareness or consciousness, which is what this season is all about, is waking us up after what we've all been experiencing and witnessing all year with our leaders really failing us, in my opinion, and not really producing truth. How many leaders have said, make sure you're exercising every day. Make sure you're getting out in the sun every day. Make sure you're taking vitamin C every day. We have not heard those types of advice or wisdom from our leaders. So it's our job now to take over, wipe out the influence and the scaremongering, fear-mongering of our society, our leaders and media and all that, and take charge of our health. I feel like I'm crooked on this screen. Maybe it's this floor. So let us get busy rolling some joints with time for healing. Let us just start out, in fact, with breathing. Breathing in, and we want to continue this breathing all throughout our exercise and throughout our show. We'll be hearing from Mr. Jester Brown, who's a centenarian at the bottom of the hour. You don't want to miss him. He's just so much wisdom to share with us today. And just an experience. I've got other audios on other centenarians that you want to take in the wisdom of people who have survived and thrived up to a century of life. There's so much knowledge we can gain and wisdom from those type of individuals. 100 years on planet Earth and you're still breathing and moving. Oh, what a joy. So my dad lived to be this man behind me. Sherman John Howard lived to be 95. So he almost made it. And he was always saying, I never thought I would live to be this age. At 95, he said, I'm done, finished, didn't want to try another 5 years. I celebrated with him a week before he turned 95 years old. I went to his house in Chicago, celebrated with him early that he was going to be 95 years old. And then a week and a half later, he passed and took his last breath. What a joy for me to have been able to spend that last 2 weeks with him, or that last week before his death or his graduation. So I am just forever grateful that the spirit of the Most High led me to get on an airplane, go to Chicago, and I spent 3 or 4 days with my father, my earthly father, Sherman Howard, before he passed on at the age of 95. Now we're going to learn about what people do to stay around that long, to reach 100. What are they doing that's helping them live? We're going to look at some of the diets, the popular diets, popular foods that they're eating. Most people, and especially the blue zone where people live a longer time. And then look at what emotions they've carried or not, and how their relationships are. I think those are all keys to better health and well-being when we talk to those who have made it to 100 and they can share what they learned in that experience. So that's what our show is all about today. Hope you invite some friends to join us or at least share this show afterwards. And let us begin the year with more wisdom, more knowledge about this vessel and practicing. So let us take a moment to close our eyes and just breathe in through the nose. Hold it for a count of five if you can, or if you can only do two or three, that's good. And then exhale through the nose or the mouth. There's some people who believe exhaling through the mouth is better. I believe the nose, you don't get dry out your nose when you exhale, but when you continually are exhaling through your mouth, you can dry out your throat that way. So I just believe the nose is the better pathway for exhaling. So breathing in and using your diaphragm down here, not up here. This should be fairly stationary. Down here around the navel, expanding that navel when you breathe in. Breathe in, breathe in, and exhaling, contracting the navel. Breathing in, the breath of life, oxygen, minerals. They're actually minerals from the cosmos that are surrounding us in minute, small amounts. So you're breathing in more than just oxygen. You're breathing in the life of the Creator that was given to us to navigate this planet Earth. So let's breathe in. Breathe in, and now let's just exhale, and let's just drop our chin to our chest and rotate this neck around. This neck gets stiff while we're sleeping. Rotate the neck around a few times. Slowly rotating the neck. Giving a stretch to that neck in one direction. Let's pause and go in the other direction. Ooh, feeling great. And this is actually stretching the shoulder muscles as well. If you don't use these muscles, guess what? They get weak and flabby. So I'm doing a lot more weightlifting with my arms and my legs. So let's keep that rolling. And then let's pause, head up. Let's just turn the neck, stretch that neck back to one to the left or right side. And then move the neck to the other side. Turn the head, not moving the neck. We're turning the head to the other side, the other direction. And then we're going to bring the chin to the chest and then bring that head all the way back. All the way back, stretching, stretching. And then let's just tilt the head to the side and stretch the neck on that side and then tilt the head to the other side, stretch, giving that neck a good stretch before we get on the floor and do some time for healing. All right, so I'm going to put on our music by The Sounds of Blackness. I do not own the rights to this music, but I love the words and the beat for our joint rolling. So let's do this. Let's get on the floor and on your back. And kick those legs and arms up as we start rolling our ankles and wrists first. Then we'll go to our elbows and then our hips and our shoulders. So let's do this.
Healing.
Inside of you and me.
Oh yeah.
Healing.
when you do this motion. So it's always good showing love to every part of the body. So as we come up, let's just sit up for a minute and activate the vagus nerve, rubbing the hands together and pressing, placing them in the back of the neck, squeezing and releasing, squeezing and releasing. Squeeze, oh, feels good. You're activating the vagus nerve, which is a major, major path of communication from the brain stem on down to all parts of the body. And let's just pat, give our body a love pat on the arm. Love pat on the arm. Pat the thymus gland, sits in the middle of your chest, which is key to stimulating your immune system. Breathing in, patting that thymus, and then just let love on the breath, touching the breath, going underneath the breath, stimulating that lymph, those lymph glands all around the breath. You want to have healthy breath all year long, not just in October when they promote it, but let those breaths know, I love you, boobies, I love you. Patting down on the abdomen, the thighs, the legs, get those legs, get those toes, give them a little pat. And then lastly, as we get up, give your buttocks a little pat and massage to let them know how much you love them. Whew, we are done. Let's get back up into the studio.
Yes, we are ready. Yes, we're ready to begin our show today. Thank you so much. I hope you're feeling better. Let me know how these joint rollings are doing or helping you or not. It would be great to hear today from you where if you're doing the joint rolling with us, how is that going for you? We're going to be hearing from our guest in about 5 minutes, but I do have some other centenarians that I downloaded. And I want to share that as the day, as the show goes on. And here's one that I want to play. We've got plenty of time. Here's the top five foods that they show. Research shows the top five foods. I thought this was fascinating. So I'm going to share with the top five foods that people who reach 100 are eating or have been eating that are keeping them healthy. You're going to be surprised at the number one. Let's listen.
In this video, I'm going to tell you the top five foods that 100-year-old people eat or ate. If you want to see more anti-aging videos like this one, click the subscribe button and ring the bell. The info is gathered from interviews or surveys taken of people who made it to age 100 or more, otherwise known as centenarians. Most of them came from blue zones around the world. Blue zones are the regions identified as having the most people aged 100 or over in the world. First, I want to tell you a quick summary about their eating habits. Most of them never eat until completely full. They eat the smallest meals of the day in the late afternoon or evening. Centenarians rarely eat red meat, and when they do, it's only small portions. And get this, most of them drink alcohol every day, but in moderation by only drinking about 1 to 2 glasses per day. Now to the top five countdown. The number five food ate by 100-year-olds are legumes, specifically named were chickpeas, lentils, and just beans in general. The fourth food is milk, but not the cow milk most of us are used to. They specifically mentioned goat or sheep's milk. Coming in at number three are vegetables. The most named were squash, greens, mushrooms, sweet potatoes, and yams. At number two is fruit. The most fruit mentioned are papaya, melons, bananas, and avocado. And now, the number one food named by centenarians is fish. The two most named were salmon and herring. If you want to know the country with the most healthiest people in the world, you can catch this video by clicking right here. If you found any value in this video, click the thumbs up. Thanks for watching, and I'll see you in the next video.
Yeah, what is the, okay, so let me go over that for those who just joined us. He just pointed out the five top foods that 100-year-olds eat to stay healthier and strong and to obviously to have reached 100. Number five, legumes, lentils, beans. Four, goat milk, not cow's milk. Most people are not drinking cow's milk who are living to be 100. Veggies, including mushrooms. What is that? Mushrooms. And fruit, and then fish. Those are the top foods, not hamburgers and all the other garbage processed foods. I believe most people who reach that age are eating simply. But we're going to hear from Mr. Brown today about what he has been doing to reach 100 in the United States. And then what is the healthiest country in the world? Let's listen to that.
Hey, I'm back. And today we're going to answer the question, what is the healthiest country in the world? Can you guess? Japan. Okay, let's talk about it. So Japan is one of the healthiest countries for several reasons. Number one, it has the most super centenarians per capita in the world. In other words, a super centenarian is someone who lives to be at least 110 years old. And then in the south, Okinawa, they have the highest number of centenarians in the world, and those are people who live to be 100. Now, Sardinia is up there as well, probably is tied with Okinawa as far as the highest number of centenarians. But overall in Japan, they have the lowest rate of age-related diseases, diabetes, cancer, arthritis, Alzheimer's. Also, the obesity rates are one of the lowest in the world. Why? Well, we're going to get into their diet, but I do want to mention in 2009, the Japanese Ministry of Health, Labor, and Welfare came up with something called the Metabo Law. And it's interesting to call it the Metabo Law and not the Obesity Law, because anyone who is actually between 47 years old and 74 years old is required to be measured, okay, each year. And for men, it cannot exceed 33.5 inches. And for women, it cannot exceed 35.4 inches. Now, I'm not sure of their penalties, whether it's through the insurance company that they have or the government, but I think it's very motivating to have this as a target, because this is the indicator of insulin resistance and the amount of insulin in the body. And if they can keep their insulin low, they're going to avoid diabetes, certain risk factors of getting cancer, arthritis for sure, and Alzheimer's, which by the way is like type 3 diabetes. I also know that if you exceed this, you also have to have certain classes to teach.
So I thought it was very interesting that in Japan, one of the healthiest countries for centenarians and people in general, that they require a measurement to see how fat you're getting, basically. Wouldn't that be great if the United States put in that type of mandatory mandate instead of injecting poisons in people's bodies? But that's why the United States is considered one of the unhealthiest countries in the world, with diabetes and cancer and all these diseases running rampant. We can learn so much from Japan and take it upon ourselves to measure our fat and monitor what we're eating, what we're drinking, and the lifestyle that we practice that is creating some of the diseases that are running rampant in this country especially. So we're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to dial in and call in my guest, Mr. Jeff Brown, who reached 100 this year. I missed his birthday, but so did he. They were not able to celebrate his birthday in his assisted living place because they had a COVID case that was diagnosed, and so the whole place got shut down. When you're in an assisted living place, they take over when things like this happen. So we'll talk to him right after the break.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. Visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
Oh man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456. And schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Do you or your organization need space for an event? Call the Quarry Event Center at 2423 East 75th Street in Chicago for your parties, banquets, award ceremonies, repasses, concerts, and business seminars, available 7 days a week, now under new management. Call us at the Quarry at 773-663-2557. That's 773-663-2557.
And we're back. Thank you for joining me this morning. We're talking about centenarians, people who have reached 100 years old. We can learn so much from them. As I did with my dad, Sherman J. Howard. He lived to be 95, 5 years short, but so much about him taught me how to live longer. And one of the things I really noticed about my dad, had a very kind spirit, a kind heart. Rarely did I ever hear him cursing or getting angry at people. Rarely. I mean, it happened, but it was so rare. And he was always such a man of integrity. When he said he was going to do something, he did it. And one of the things he did that really gave me a lot of respect for him was when he divorced my mother, he made an agreement to pay her alimony, a certain amount of money, until she remarried or until her death. Well, her death came first many years later. In fact, while he was married to his third wife, her death came. But he faithfully paid my mother alimony for all the years that he was married to number two and number three wife until her death. And so integrity, kindness to me are some of the qualities that this man here, Sherman Howard, demonstrated to me to live to be 95. And his diet was very simple most of the time. His wife didn't agree with his diet, his lifestyle as far as eating, but he was always taking vitamins, no drugs. And so you're going to hear today from someone who is kind of the opposite, but he still lived to be 100. My dad took mostly herbal products, exercised a lot until his legs got weak. And Mr. Brown, my guest today, actually played golf into his 90s while wearing a pacemaker. So I'm going to dial in. Brown is back from breakfast. I called him yesterday. Yes. So hopefully he's back in his room and after breakfast. So we're calling him. See if he'll answer. When you're 100.
Hello?
Mr. Brown, you're back from breakfast?
Yeah.
How are you today?
I'm doing pretty good so far. I wake up and I went and I have my breakfast at 7 o'clock and I just come back into my room just puttering around. It looks like it's going to be a nice day. The weather's going to be in the 70s, so I'm looking forward to that. Going to have some company. And then my nieces are coming down. They've been here since the day before yesterday. They can't stay with me, so they're staying with some friends. But they're going to come over and visit with me. And I have another friend that's going to visit. So it's going to be a busy day today for me.
I'm so happy for you, Mr. Brown. You're in the studio of Blog Talk Radio right now, and I might have people in the studio who are listening to you. They want to hear about your centenarian celebration of life today. And I would like you to, first of all, share where you were born and what your childhood was like.
Do you want to start a program when?
The program has already started. You're on the air right now in Blog Talk Radio Studio. So tell my audience, you have several people listening to you right now. Where were you
born? You got to talk a little slower because my hearing is not that good. I got to talk loud and slower for me.
Okay, Mr. Brown, we're going to start with the show right now and tell us where you were born and what your childhood was like.
Okay. Well, they're going to ask me some questions.
Yes. Where were you born?
I was born in Jamaica in a small community. You know, Jamaica has four parishes. I was born in one of the parishes of Clarendon and St. Anne. The river divided the parish of St. Anne from Clarendon, and I was born in the Indian town in the Clarendon side of the river. By my early beginnings, I grew up with my grandparents, went to school, the Anian Town School, was graduated from that school in 17 years old, and then I left Anian Town because there's not much activity in a small community, so people always leave and go to Kingston. But I did not go to Kingston. I went to Mandeville, which is another community. And then I worked there. And then finally I left and came to the United States in 1945. In 1945, you know who was the president? Truman was president at the time. Roosevelt had just passed away, and Truman became president. And then I left Jamaica in April of 1945 to Connecticut. From there I met my wife, and then I was in the country for 4 years, and I went back to Jamaica. And I came back to Jamaica in 1950. But you know, when I came to this country, there was no television in people's house. Absolutely not. I tell you, I see the first television. I was walking down the street in Hartford, Connecticut, and people were looking in the show window, and they were all peeping and said, "What the heck is that?" "It's a TV." It was a 12-inch TV, black and white. Nobody in the United States that I know of have television in their house in 1947 or 46. Absolutely none. And then after that, I met my wife. She was from Boston. So when I came back to the United States, I did not go to Connecticut. I went to Boston, and from there I worked. And then I went in the railroad for 9 years. And after that, I went into the post office for 27 and a half years. And I retire in 1987, I retire. Then I moved to Florida in 1988. Then live here ever since.
Well, Mr. Brown, I had the privilege of seeing you on a regular basis play golf in your 90s. How did that happen? How did you start playing golf when you were in your, when did you start playing, in your 80s or your 90s?
Well, I tell you, golf is one of the most interesting things that I ever get involved with. It gives me all the exercise that I need. But I started playing golf after I had retired and moved to Florida. I did not play golf in Boston.
Okay.
I started playing golf some years after I came to, my wife passed away in 2010. And then I started to play golf just to learn to keep some exercise and keep myself going. And golf is one of the most interesting things that I ever get involved with. It is a healthy pastime for people who can play golf at any age. The idea of golf is you hit the ball, walk to it, and hit it again. And it was one of the most enjoyable experiences that I ever had. A lot of people think golf is over expensive, but it don't have to be expensive. You can find a walking course and play golf in Winter Park. I joined a membership there, and I played golf for 19 years there. I was playing golf when I was 95 years old. I played golf. I loved the game so much. I used to see people playing golf in the rain, you know. I said, they must have been out of their cotton picking mind. But if you love the game and the game is ball is right, you don't want to quit. It's a very interesting game.
Yeah.
And I played golf for maybe 19 years in Winter Park Golf Course.
19?
And I was 95 years old, I was still playing golf.
Right, right. Because I, for those of you who don't know, I worked in Mr. Brown's home, cleaning his home and ironing for him because I had a house cleaning business. And he must have had about 20 or 30 golf shirts that I had the privilege of ironing. Because people were so happy to see you playing golf at your age. They were giving you golf shirts for gifts, right?
Yeah, I play golf there. I joined a membership there. And I used to just go there and play golf. And finally, the guy that runs the place said to me, would you like to join the men's golf organization? And I said, what's that? He said, explain to me. He says, they play golf every Wednesday. And every first Wednesday, they play and they have lunch after each game. So I played golf there almost 20 years after I started playing golf. And I played golf for many, many years at Winter Park Golf Course. We have a membership of about 30 guys. I still get they send me the result of the games on my computer. But I'm no longer a membership, and I could not play the golf anymore because I could not hit the ball.
Well,
you know, golf is a game that you can play at any age. You just hit the ball, walk to it, and hit it again. But there's more to it than that. It's something you have to learn basically from the beginning and learn the game properly. And I played golf there for many years with a park golf course.
Well, you know, my dad played golf when he retired from being a physical education instructor. My dad started playing golf in his 80s, I think it was. Yeah, 70s or 80s. And he played until his knees started giving him trouble. And this was a knee injury from playing professional football. So you read my dad's book, so you know he was pretty active back in the day. But I want to go back to your childhood eating habits. What in Jamaica and as a young child, what type of diet did you have as a young child?
I was born in a very small community in Jamaica. It's a small community of farmers, and people plant their crops and their bananas and sell it to the United Fruit Company. But for a young guy, there's not much activity in my community. So people usually leave after they left school and they go to Kingston to find employment. But I did not go to Kingston. I went to a town called Mandeville, which is in Manchester, which is another parish. And then after I was there for many years doing some work, and I left the United States in April of 1945 to Connecticut. And then after I went to Connecticut, I was there for 4 years. And I met my wife there in Connecticut, but she was not from Connecticut. She was from Boston. So when I came back to the United States, I did not go to Connecticut. I went straight to Boston, and from there I worked. And I went into the railroad for 9 years. And then after that, in 9 years, I went into the postal service and worked in the postal service for 28 years and retired from the postal service and moved to Orlando. In 1988, I moved to Orlando and been living in there ever since.
So, Mr. Brown, we want to talk about your diet. I just played a video, an audio about what most centenarians are eating throughout the world. And the five top foods, I want to know, do you eat these foods, or what has your diet been like since you, when you were a child? The top five foods are beans or lentils, goat milk, vegetables, including mushrooms, fruit, and fish. Do you eat any of those five foods on a regular basis, or did you grow up eating those foods?
Well, when I was young, I did not think of having diabetes. I was not aware of the fact. But diabetes is a disease that you can have for a long time and not even know it. But I did not know that I was a diabetic until I moved to Orlando. And then, but my early beginning, I eat all Jamaica food. Jamaica food was very fresh. We didn't have a lot of refrigeration, so they cooked the food. All the meat and fish was cooked properly and fresh and seasoned. And I eat anything at that point. But I did not find out that I was diabetic until after I moved to Orlando, and I found out that I was diabetic, and I started to change my diet. Now I'm on insulin. I take two types of insulin, a fast-acting and a slow-acting insulin. And I give all these medicines to myself. Nobody has to give me my medicine. I order it from Walgreens, and I take it myself, a fast-acting and a slow-acting insulin. But now I have to select the food that I eat. The place that I live here, they don't have a diabetic menu, but I have a menu, and I select the food from the menu which they provide. And I eat a lot of salad. I stay away from sugar and salt. And I eat most of salad and fish and chicken without the skin, and just select the food from the menu which they provide here. And I take my diabetic test every morning and see what my test is. And then I take the food to control with what I eat from the menu which they provide.
Now, Mr. Brown, I have a book that I refer to with my clients and on this show called Heal Your Body by Louise Hay. Louise Hay writes about diabetes, what the metaphysical and mental cause of diabetes, what she says is longing for what might have been, a great need to control, deep sorrow, and no sweetness left. So, Mr. Brown, when I met you, you told me the story about your wife's illness, and it just made me want to cry. And so I believe that part of the reason that your body started to be challenged with diabetes was the deep sorrow that about your wife and the relationship you had with her. For how many years did you visit her in a nursing home because she had a stroke? Tell our audience how many years you were in sorrow about your wife's condition.
Well, my wife contracted what they call an aneurysm. She had it in Boston, and she had the surgery in Boston. And but she recovered, but she was left in a condition similar to a disease. That she lose her memory, she could recall things.
Yeah,
and then I decided I'm going to retire at that point. And then I moved to Florida in 1988. And then she had to be in a nursing facility because her condition was bad. And then when she came down, she had an attack, another attack of the aneurysm. And she was taken to the RMC hospital. And her condition gets so bad that the doctor concluded that she cannot live at home anymore. She got to need professional care in a nursing facility. And she was transported from the hospital to the nursing home in Wintergarden. And she was in there for 19 years she was in the hospital. She never had a morsel of food by mouth in all those years. She was fed through a tube, to her stomach, and I go to see her every single day that she was in the nursing facility. And she finally passed away in 2010. It's about 11 years ago she passed away. And then I lived by myself during all those years, and finally, it was during that time that I started to get involved in playing golf to get some exercise.
So I really admired your love for this woman. How many people for 19 years would go to a facility to visit their wife and not marry? Did you ever think about marrying again after or doing that?
No. I retired for so long. I was getting old. And the woman that I married, she was such a lovely woman. She was the greatest woman that I ever know in my life. Love her so much. And I never think about marrying anybody. I just think about taking care of her. And her condition started to get... When she moved into the nursing home, she could able to have a small conversation. But as the years go by, she get to the point where we could not communicate anymore. She could not talk well, could not have any conversation with her. But I usually go to visit her anyway. And when I go to visit her, they know that I'm coming to see. So I disconnect her tube. She was there in a wheelchair. And we move out of the to the back of the building in the yard in the shed, and we sit and talk and just communicate with her and hold her hands and just pass the time generally. And then I usually come home, and then I start to visit my friends, you know, just to pass the time. And I think you met one of the people that I knew to visit. And I just go to their house after I come back from visiting her. And then after that, I go home. The next day, I go to play golf.
Now,
I play golf in the morning, and then after that, I go to visit with her again in the afternoon.
Now, Mr. Brown, I'm sure many people are listening to your story about your relationship with your wife, and they become a little sad themselves thinking about how you had to endure or how you had to relate to your wife who was in an assisted or in an assisted living, a nursing home all those years. But you developed a heart problem during that time, and you had to have a pacemaker. How long, when did you have the pacemaker put in your heart?
It's a good question. After I started playing golf, I realized that my breathing was not good, and I used to visit the doctor. And finally, he decided I'm going to have to get a pacemaker. So I went, he put me in the hospital, and I have a pacemaker. I think it was about 12 years ago, I had my first pacemaker in the RMC. But before I had the pacemaker, I could hardly walk. I was so weak, and I would try to go to the bathroom, and I have to turn back, go back to my bed. But after I had the pacemaker, I'd like to get a new vital system in my system. And I was playing golf about 10 days after I had the pacemaker. And I played golf up until 4 years ago, I played golf. The pacemaker lost me for 11 years, we had it. And finally the pacemaker went dead, going up and dead, and they changed my pacemaker in November of this year. And now I'm back to my pacemaker, and now my pacemaker is good for 9 years now, I have my pacemaker. So if I outlive my pacemaker, I'll be 108 before my second pacemaker will go dead again. I'm knowing my second pacemaker after the first one.
That's just so interesting. Mr. Brown, for those of you who have just joined us, we're talking to Mr. Jeff Brown. He made 100 years of new age. When was your birthday again? What's your birthday?
My birthday was born in August 20, 1921, in Jamaica.
Okay.
And I came to this country. I was 25 years old when I came to this country.
Right.
I was born in 1921. I was born, and I came to this country in 1945.
Yeah.
So I was about 25 years old when I came to this country. I have never seen snow in my life when I came to this country until I came to Connecticut in 1945. And when I was growing up, there was no television, so I could not see what snow looked like. When I came to this country, there was no such thing as a TV in people's house. Absolutely none. We didn't have any communication because we did not have a telephone when I left Jamaica. But now I go back to Jamaica, it is amazing the way things have changed. People have television, they got color TV. There's another thing. Cell phone is a brand new. Do you know how old were you when you got your first cell phone?
How old was I?
How old were you when you get your first cell phone?
Oh, I don't know. Let's see, maybe 10 years ago. I've lost track. All I know is every time I have a problem, they want to give me a new phone. And that's called planned obsolescence, I called it. Everything has to be replaced. Spend more money. I'm done with that. I have a phone. But you're right. So things have changed so much. And I think, Mr. Brown, that staying in Jamaica for 25 years is one of the reasons you're still here on this planet, because in Jamaica, during that time, that was a much simpler life without television, without cell phones. And like my father, who stayed in New Orleans for 9 years, And he was born in 1924. He was 3 years younger than you. And from 1924 to 1933, he had a very strong foundation of a simple life, natural food, and relations that helped him prepare him to move to Chicago and do what he had to do for the rest of his, 80-some years on the planet. So we got to take a break, Mr. Brown. Can you stay with us a few more minutes? I want to know, if you have questions for Mr. Brown, press 1 if you're in the studio, or write your comments on Facebook. And we'll be right back. We have a question for you, Mr. Brown, right after our break. So can you stay with me a little longer?
Okay, good enough.
All right, we're going to go to a break, and then we're going to come to a question. So,
do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
You are tuned in to the Soulful Chicago Book Fair 2020 Vision Fundraising Campaign. That's right. You can support the vision of reviving Black literary excellence in this city by simply taking your $20 or more and donating it on our website. Visit www.soulfulchicagobookfair.com and click the Donate tab on our homepage, or give us a call at 646-359-6605, and we welcome you, helping us breathe literary life into the South Side of Chicago.
Joining us, we are talking with Mr. Jeff Brown, our centenarian of the day, born in 1921. And as I said before we went to the break, I believe his 25 years in Jamaica, a very simple environment, a very simple upbringing, has helped him establish a firm foundation of health back in the day, in the very, or maybe rural setting. But Mr. Brown, are you still with us?
I am, Shelly, out here.
Okay, we have someone who has pressed 1. They have a question for you. So I'm going to open up the mic, and 773-977. Do you have a comment or a question for our guest?
Do you want me to ask a question?
Yes, I opened up the mic. Check your mute button. 773-977. You pressed 1. Your hand is up.
Good morning. Good morning. Giving honor to God today, and giving honor to Mr. Jeff Brown and all of our listeners today. Mr. Pastor Brown, it's such a blessing for us to be alive and witness some of these things that you're sharing with us today. And, you know, Mr. Brown, I received a lot of message from what you said about your wife, how you traveled back and forth to the hospital for 19 years. You know, I feel that there's not too many men out here that would do that, Mr. Brown. And we wave flags at you today, Mr. Brown. And God loves you. We all love you. And, you know, I'm wondering, you know, why are you in a facility if you're, you know, maintaining your own health and injecting yourself and what have you? So I assume you've been diagnosed with diabetes. But why are you in a facility and do you have any living relatives or what have you? And so I'm really enjoying the fact that we have to listen to what happened back then, the love that you shared for your wife. I don't believe they have that anymore, maybe one or two. You know, one man just died. He lost his wife after 65 years. So I'll tell him what you said. Exercise is the way you maintain that. I'd like for you to repeat that again for me, if you will, please. And thank God for you. Thank God for everybody today. Everybody who's listening, we've all been blessed. Thank you, and Merry Christmas. Bye.
Now, Mr. Brown, did you hear her question? She wants to know, why are you in that facility that you're in when you are doing so much for yourself in the way of giving your own medicine? Tell her why you ended up in that facility.
Well, first of all, I could not continue to do this stuff that I do for myself over the years. I have to go to the doctor. I have to cook my own food and make up my own food. Generally do everything for myself. I got to take blood work and all, and come back and eat before I take my blood work. And I have so many things to do that I couldn't continue to do all those things on myself anymore. And I couldn't drive a car because my vision, my left eye, is not good anymore. And I was concerned about giving an accident to driving a car. So I finally decided about a year and a half ago that I'm going to have to make some changes in my life. I don't have any relative in Atlanta. Most of my relatives is left in Jamaica, or is left Jamaica and now in this country. And I came to this country came to Atlanta in 1988. And I don't have any relative here. People come to visit me all the time from Jamaica. And I have a house and kept my house going, but Miss Robinson has already helped me do some work in my house. But I get to the point where I could not continue to do that anymore. And I finally decided I'm going to make a change in my life. So I decided to sell my house, sell my car, sell everything, and move into this place where everything is provided for me. The baddest place here in Ocoee, and I've been living here now for about a year and a half. They provide all my supplies. My food is prepared for me. I get my medicine. They can take me to the doctor in a bus and bring me back. So I'm very comfortable here. And this is how I'm going to have to live the rest of my life, because I cannot live by myself anymore.
Now, you didn't mention that you do have a son who lives, where is your son, in Boston?
Would you say it again?
You did not mention that you have a son who lives in another state. Where is
he? All right, this is my son. I have a son that lives in Virginia.
Virginia.
But I don't want to live with my son because he works and his wife works. And I'd be alone in the house all day long. So going to live with my son is not a good idea. I've lived all my life in Florida, in the Orlando area. The people from the church that I attend, I know them. I have friends in Orlando. I don't have any friends in Virginia where my son lives. So it wouldn't make much sense for me to go up there to live with him. He's gone to work, his wife has gone to work, and I've been left alone in the house. So I decided I'm going to live here in Orlando, the way I live my life here now. That's the reason why I live here.
And I'm blessed to have been on the journey with you for a few years, a couple of years. I don't remember how many years I was cleaning your house, but I was so so blessed to be able to hear your wisdom and be on that journey when you were trying to decide what to do when your strength was failing you. I think that would be the major reason you moved into that facility, because you and I had discussions about, well, what do you do? I even offered to live in your house at one time, and you turned me down. So I'm not offended, Mr. Brown, that you didn't want me to live in your house for a while, because I was looking for ways to be closer to my family. And it turns out Mr. Brown is now 5 minutes from where I am here in my son's house. And he was even close. He was at the same distance from my son's house when he had his own home. But I was blessed to go through that process with you of trying to decide, what do you do when you've lived in a house all by yourself for all those years and your strength is failing you and you can't cook your own meals like you could, you couldn't drive to the doctor like you were, your left eye is gone, your vision is so... I learned so much about, once again, the psychology of adjustment. That was my dad's favorite class, the psychology of adjustments, which you, Mr. Brown, have demonstrated perfectly in adjusting not only to your wife's situation in that nursing home, but in your own situation. When it comes time for us to make decisions about where we're going to live in our later years, you have been such a great teacher on making the adjustments. And you were blessed to have a house that you could sell and use that money now to pay other people to take care of you and to pay and to place the comfortable. You're in a very comfortable place right now and fewer worries about what's going to happen. Is that correct? Are you there, Mr.
Brown?
Yeah. I say you're in a very comfortable place. You've made the adjustment, and now you are ready to just live out the rest of your life in peace and comfort. Is that not right?
That is okay, because I really don't have any other choice. You know, the people that I know come to visit with me. The only problem is when they have this virus enter this place, they have a restriction that nobody can visit with me during those times. When I first moved here about a year and a half ago, people could visit with me. But right after that, I think I moved in February and in March, everything was fine. And finally, they decided they're going to clamp down with no visitors here. And then I went from March until September, when the disease finally got in here and they closed. No visitors allowed to come in here to see me. During my birthday, the restriction was still on, and the restriction was not lifted until September. So now people can visit with me again, and they can come to my room, and we can sit and talk. And I get all my work done here. Take care of my laundry, do my 3 meals a day, and I'm very comfortable here. So this is where I'm going to live for the rest of my life. I don't have any other choice, to be frank with you. My son will come down to visit with me, but they cannot stay with me because they don't allow anyone to visit and stay in my room, but they can stay all day long and talk. My two nieces are down here now from Boston. They'll be visiting with me for Christmas. And my son is going to come down right after Christmas. And then I have a relative that can come to visit with me, but they cannot stay with me where I live.
And I'm very grateful for you that you had a house that is paid, but you're able to pay for it. So it really was a blessing to come to Orlando and buy a house at a very early time and be able to take the money, the proceeds from the sale of that house and pay for where you are now. Is that correct?
That is correct. I paid for my reasonable price when I bought it. And when I sold it, the price was almost doubled. So between the selling of my house and my pension that I received from the government and the Postal Service, those two things combined to be able to pay for my living condition here. I only hope that I can outlive my money. Because if my money run out, then I'll be in bad shape. But I think my money will hold me up for the... I don't plan to live that long, you know. My ears are getting shorter now. But I just live my life one day at a time, my dear. And that's all I can hope to do, one day at a time.
Now, Lois, did you press 1 again? Did you have another question, Lois?
Yes, I'd like to ask Mr. Brown, and thank you for taking one day at a time, because that's all we can do. But you're going to be here a long time, Mr. Brown. I just feel it. And I was wondering, Mr. Brown, do you have a girlfriend in that facility?
A girlfriend? Well, somebody asked me, but if I get a girlfriend, I wouldn't know what to do with her. I guess I could look at her. She's nice looking. I can just look at her. That's all I can do. But I don't have any interest in girls anymore. You know, I can run jokes with my people that I know, but not seriously. I don't have a girlfriend, and I have friends who are girls, but I don't have any serious girlfriends, to be frank with you. And I don't think I need one. I'm just friendly. Miss Roberts has been a very nice person to me. Oh, she's a lovely person. I'm so happy that I meet with her. And she's helped me a lot. And we talked, and we talk about her father, which is, I think she wrote a book about her, which I read. Very interesting man he was, Miss Roberts' father. And I think he passed away not long ago. But I have a very good relationship with Mrs. Robinson. She's a very nice person indeed.
Yes, well, my brother had a relationship with her father as well over at the Harlan High School here in Chicago, Illinois. And that gentleman was such an outstanding gentleman. He was the coach of all of those young men. And he really, really, well, he donated the mats to the tutoring academy because he wanted new mats at the school, you know, and he gave all those mats to those children at the tutoring academy. Oh, that was back in the 80s, 70s, 80s. But anyway, God is good. Thank you so much, Mr. Brown, for just being here. And you're going to be here a long time. I'll look to talk to you next year. God bless you.
Well, it's so nice to talk with you. The book that Ms. Robinson read, wrote about her was a very interesting man. He's lived a life in his football years with constant struggle and has come out of it and has lived the rest of his life in a peaceful existence. And it was a very interesting book. I read the whole book that she wrote about her father. And a very interesting man in life.
Well, I think, like my dad, you have lived a long life because you have a good heart, you have a kind spirit, and you learned how to exercise and keep moving your body in your elderly years. Both you and my dad have that in common. You watched what you ate, and you exercised your body until you had to slow down. So, Mr. Brown, what advice would you give young people today about staying healthy and longevity, especially? How can people today live in longevity, live for a longer time, and enjoy their life?
Let me tell you something, my dear. I have lived to be 100 years old. I never planned to live this long. But I've always lived my life with the idea of kindness and respect. You should respect everyone that you meet in this world. And the kindness that I've done over the years is now back to benefit my life with the people that helps me. all these people that helped me, I did not know them in Jamaica. But the kindness that I have showed to call your brother No Call and I'm kind to his mother, I never mentioned. If you do a favor to somebody, don't ever mention it. Just leave it alone. And the kindness that I've done to call mother, he heard about it. And now he and his wife will do anything for me. John and Gwen, which is the person that you met, they're the same way. I've been kind to them, and they do the kindness that I've shown to them is now paying off for me 100%. And that's where I've always lived my life. Kindness and respect. Respect for everyone. You cannot change people. You know, I was reading on my YouTube the other day. This world has 8 billion people plus. Every one of those people has their own DNA. You cannot change people's life. If you cannot get along with people, just leave it alone. Don't try to make people live the life that you live. Kindness and respect. And that will take you a long way. That's the advice that I have to give to everyone. Kindness and respect. And that is paying off in my life today. And I don't plan to change that. It has worked very good for me. And that's how I intend to live the rest of my life that I have left on this earth.
Thank you so much for that wisdom, Mr. Brown. We don't hear that very often these days, even from many of our elders who are so sick and full of disease that they can't even speak wisdom. But we so appreciate you. And I want to see if I have an applause here. We want to give you a happy birthday message. And here is what we want to give you an applause at this time. And that's an applause.
A very pleased to be on your program. Very, very happy to be in conversation with you guys. And my other is right, you know, I don't have an enemy. Would you know I live to be 100 years old and I don't have one enemy? Build bridges, not enemies. Kindness and respect. And that's my advice that I give to everyone that I meet. Thank you all very much. It's very nice to be in your program, Ms. Robinson. I look forward to see you visiting me at some point when you get a chance.
And I will, because we're 5 minutes away. I'm in my son's house for building my new house, and I look forward to coming to visit you as well, Mr. Brown. So have a beautiful day. We're going to take our last commercial break. And we love you, Mr. Brown, and I hope you have a wonderful celebration this coming week with your family mostly. Have a wonderful time with your family. I know you're looking forward to seeing your son and all your relatives. And tell those nieces have been so loving and respectful toward you, that you are truly blessed to have these relatives that you do have, because they always honor you over the years. I've seen how they just honor you and take time. You've had some amazing birthday parties too. I hope you still have pictures of your birthday parties, because that's what it's all about in the later years, I think, is to enjoy your family and make sure that you have good conversation. And that's what I love when I visit you. We have some great conversations. So have a wonderful day, and I'll see you soon, okay?
Okay, my dear. Bye-bye for now.
Bye-bye. Thank you.
All right, so bye-bye.
If you're just tuning in, we've been speaking to Mr. Jeff Brown, and we're going to go to our last commercial break. And we'll be back with some more advice from centenarians.
Okay, my dear.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships for introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Talking with Mr. Jeff Brown, our centenarian, my centenarian friend. This man, as I said, has been such a blessing in my life, especially after my dad passed. I was still able to have conversations with an elder who had so much wisdom. And I believe you'll agree that Mr. Brown has so much wisdom to share at 100 years old. We should all be listening to people who reached that age and they can still hold a decent conversation. And my dad was like that up until 95 years old. He could hold a conversation and talk about, and you might have noticed he repeats things, but that's okay. I've learned patience with people his age to just listen and let them repeat themselves over and over again. I think it helps them keep their brain strong and their memory strong when they keep repeating the events of their life over and over again, which is great. So I hope that was a blessing for you. I also found a really powerful interview on YouTube with a couple that has been married for 83 years. So they're in their 100. They're over 100. So I thought I'd share this with you as well as we're talking about centenarians. And they have been married. In fact, this audio is about a couple's therapy session. And in it, there were younger couples there, about four young couples there, asking two elderly couples. One couple had been married for 53 years, an interracial couple, and they share how it was against the law to even marry back when they got married. And then another couple, 83 years of marriage, and they're both over 100 and still talking and relating. So let's listen to more wisdom. This is kind of a day of wisdom to grow into 2022. We're saying goodbye to 2021. Lots of lessons. We've evolved. We are smarter. We're wiser. So let's listen to a couple more centenarians who can help us grow even more in this coming year.
All right, everybody. So we're about to get started with our next group.
Yes.
Come in, please.
Hi.
One of the things that has been important here is to make sure that you see real stories of love. And so today, pay attention to how their stories mirror your own and ask questions. What I want you to walk away with today is knowing that no relationship is without its challenges, and know that no matter where you are in your relationship, that anything is possible. And so I want to introduce you to some friends, Tom and Laura Joyner. Tom and Laura have been married for 51 years.
Wow.
And then I want to also bring Willie and DW into this conversation. These lovely folks here have been married for 83 years. They brought their lovely daughter.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so with that, I want to sit back and listen to you all tell your story about how you've come to the moment that you're at.
Well, we met in college. There was a Coasters concert. A friend and I had snuck in and were sitting in the auditorium watching the rehearsal. And then this lady comes in with her friend and...
And they said, come and sit with us. Okay. So we did. And then we heard that there was a party later. And I said, okay. But I have a boyfriend. And but I went to the party anyway. And there was something about him I really thought was really nice. I liked him, but I didn't say anything.
We were both engaged at the time to other people.
Oh, okay.
But we had an incredible, powerful physical attraction to each other.
And all the black kids started ditching me and thought, you belong to so-and-so, so what are you doing with this guy?
Interracial dating was not a thing on our campus back in 1964.
It was against the law.
Wow.
Tom and Laura, what advice would you give them for those moments when it is challenging? The bottom line of what we've learned is keep your friends and family out of your business.
Why do you stress that so much?
You know, everybody has their own agenda. They do. So try to keep them in a place where you can say, you know what, enough. And fear does that. Afraid of what they think, afraid of that you're stepping on someone's toes, afraid of being disowned by.
Right, because Tom, weren't you disowned by your family?
Oh, he was
for
disowned
a while?
By his family.
My dad wasn't real happy when I got married.
And we developed our own tribe.
That's right.
We made our own tribe.
The important thing is what works between the two of you.
Wow, that's deep.
What has been the most challenging part of being married for the two of you?
Working as the first assistant director, I was on location a lot, mainly on features, doing some television.
He did Jaws.
Okay.
I would have to pack up. I'd be gone for 3 months at a time, and she'd be left at home with the children.
A son and a daughter.
She had to be head of household while I was gone. And then when I would come back, I would say, wait a minute, she's been running the house. I can't come in and go, Daddy's home. It's Mike, you know. It was the partnership, so we really had to work on that. But that was stressful.
Yes, it was.
Difficult for a while.
Okay. DW and Willie are 100 and 103 years old.
Oh, wow.
What?
Hey, not looking good over there.
And let me tell you, what is interesting about their story is that they got married after knowing each other for 3 months.
Oh, wow.
And they have been together over 8 decades.
On social media.
And so tell us your story.
My niece introduced us at church, and so we started seeing each other, talking. And from that on, we got together, so here we are. 83 years.
Wow. What was it about him that attracted you to him?
He was very nice. He was always nice to him. And he had respect for my family as well as he did me. So, you know, some young guys that come along, they don't care what they say in front of you or what they do. But He was different.
What was it about her?
I was a bad boy. And I met her at the church one night. You know, I walked her home. And I said, well, what, you want to get married? Oh, well, sure.
What?
So she turned me around. And that was it for me. So I make a long story short, live right, do the best you can, when you can, and do the thing that's right for one another. That's my advice for you.
I want to ask you all how you have handled conflict, because conflict is one of the hardest things for couples to come back from.
He doesn't like arguments. When I start on him, tell him, what, you forgot to do this, you forgot to do that, he's gone. And I've been there, look like a nut talking to myself. The one made the mistake. They would come back and say, I'm sorry.
How important is that, to say, I'm sorry, I made a mistake?
Very important.
When you do something wrong to someone, you go back and make an apology. That mean a lot to you. But when you won't say anything about it and keep walking by me, that make you feel good. Mm-hmm. Not at all.
And then don't sit and fester. And I think it's important when you say you're sorry, be able to forgive the other person and let it go.
When you guys have a disagreement, you know, are you both hearing each other out before you're, like, attacking one another?
Yes, I think we would hear each other. We would give each other space, sleep right. off the next day, and then we'd come back and revisit it, and somehow there'd be compromises worked out.
Was there any infidelity?
No.
Never?
No.
And how many years?
54 together.
54, really? Wow. That's,
so it's possible.
That's amazing.
What would you say to us, like, for two people that are married, just to help us understand the importance of a union?
Almost everybody has a unique relationship. And you're sort of forming a corporation when you stop thinking about what do I want, and then you start thinking, what do we want? So one way might be to say, let's just have a safe space and check in with each other. What were your hurts this week? What were my failings? And just talk it out, and then you'll have a good laugh and maybe some good sex afterwards, you know.
Yeah. Two thumbs up to that.
There you go.
It is important for these couples to know as they go forward. When other people were interested in your partner and they were hanging around your relationships, how did you deal with that?
You told her that this is my girlfriend, so you look for someone else.
Simple as that. Okay.
That's right. There were women that were interested in him because they just couldn't figure out why he was with me, because they were white.
You know, but we actually had a bit of an advantage. Because we knew there was a lot of people with jealousy. They'll try to tear you down if they can. There's a lot of people that have spite or hate for other reasons. We went the extra mile to make sure our marriage succeeded so they wouldn't prove us wrong. It's just up to the two of you to make it work.
That's right.
I think it's like a different time. Like the beliefs back then and the value back then was real. Now you have social media, you have people posing to be who they're not, and that's what's going on now from then.
Do you think that marriages nowadays can't make it?
What's happened out there?
Social media made it to where, you know how they say the grass is greener?
Yes.
There's way more lawns than it used to be right now. You know what I'm saying?
But there's a lot of crabgrass out there.
Sure is. And weeds.
But what is important for you to remember is that their grass is fertilized with manure just like everybody else.
What?
Okay. Social media and how we govern ourselves is a choice. It's not the time that's different. It's the perspective, as you see. And the obstacles and the challenges are no different than the obstacles and challenges now. They had to overcome things that were illegal. Right. And they persevered. You're talking about DMs, 60 characters. Oh, it's a trend. Only if you choose to follow the trend will you be a trendsetter or will you be a follower? Which one? Because everybody has said they want to be what?
The goat.
The greatest of all
greatest
time.
Greatest of all time.
I have never seen a goat that has followed anybody.
They're the real goats right there.
And you know what?
These are the real goats. Thank y'all so much. Yeah, y'all blessed them with that.
So a goat. I really wasn't aware that goats, you see that the Tom Brady, they call him the GOAT, the greatest of all time. But I think each of us are GOATs because we have unique assignments. And here's one more audio about what all most common traits among centenarians that we can conclude or summarize and draw from as we go into a more powerful year of health, prosperity, and wealth.
I'd rather drop keel over at 90, having lived a great life and just getting off my bike, than, you know, drooling in a wheelchair at 105.
Now, who's going to break the record for longevity? Is it going to be a yogi who eats leaves in the morning and meditates for 8 hours, or is it going to be someone who's good at CrossFit, hikes a lot on the weekend, has a lot of muscle mass, and has a busy, wonderfully engaged life where they're running two businesses and coaching Hughes soccer?
You know, when we talk about longevity, it's just, again, there are so many variables here. Probably the most common theme among all centenarians is what we call the ability to roll with the punches, how they manage stress. So this could be a person who drank a fifth of whiskey, you know, every day and smoked a cigar. Walked around a lot, certainly was active, that's a critical element, but more importantly, dealt with stress. It appears that stress is probably the greatest predictor, or how you handle stress, is the greatest predictor of longevity of anything. And, you know, that if you look into, you know, sirtuins, if you look into telomeres, if you look into that whole aspect of senescence, stress plays a huge role in that. Clearly with in animal studies and now looking at human studies. So, you know, maybe it'll be the least stress. Maybe it'll be your yogi, you know, who's just chilling out. But it won't be an issue because in the next 10 or 15 years, we will have some genetic modification. I'm not in favor of it, but some gene manipulation that will extend life, I think, fairly significantly for better or for worse.
Mm. When you said an important line there about an optimal amount of stress, and we kind of think in terms of stress being negative, but I think the guy sitting on the beach with nothing to do is actually a huge risk factor mental health and whatever else, versus that optimal amount of stress and stimulation and extending your career like this guy, continuing on, because what else are you going to do except for stay engaged and try to make a contribution and all these great things that make us feel good spiritually, mentally, all that?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, there's no magic equation here. It comes down to, you know, individual desires and wants and the definition of what a quality lifestyle is. You know, I'd rather drop keel over at 90, having lived a great life and just getting off my bike, than, you know, drooling in a wheelchair at 105. So, I mean, that's, you know, a lot of these things play a role in what we look at in terms of optimizing our lives. In terms of optimizing stress, you know, we talk about hormesis, the hormetic stressors that are that our genetic recipe is not just equipped to deal with, but expects of us. So many of us now, you know, undertake activities like cold plunge, right? Like cryogenic training. I'll do a cold plunge a couple times a week. It's a hormetic stress. It's uncomfortable, and yet I know that my body is benefiting from that exposure. Now, if I fell overboard in the Antarctic, you know, off a boat, and I was in the water for 35 minutes, that's not a hormetic stress. It's a completely different life-threatening situation. So we sort of choose these little stresses, and again, good stress, bad stress, how we handle stress. Great example, public speaking. So for some people, the stress of public speaking is like life-threatening, right? And they'll be, if they have a public speaking event coming up, they'll agonize about it and fret over it and worry about it and stay up all night and not sleep thinking about it, and it does no good for them. On the other hand, there are people who love public speaking, and I'm one. So like, oh my God, I get to public speak. This is so awesome. I get to speak in front of a crowd.
Still stressful.
This is still
a stimulatory event.
Still stressful.
Right.
But it's how I perceive it and how I embody it that makes all the difference in how my body.
So I think you get the message about that particular teaching. It's all about managing stress. And I'm going to give you what I believe are the three M's and E, the MIMIs, I call them, to manage stress. But one more, like, three-minute audio on the guide to longevity. I thought this was pretty good.
Blue zones are areas around the world where a high percentage of individuals live to be 100 years old. Today on Million Ways to Live, we visit Loma Linda, California, the only blue zone in North America, where Seventh-day Adventists show the world that healthy living is possible in today's modern world. Meet Dr. Ellsworth Warham, a 100-year-old Seventh-day Adventist who retired as a heart surgeon at 95. He's been featured in National Geographic, on The Oprah Winfrey Show, and been interviewed by people from all over the world. We spent the day with Dr. Warham and his wife to learn his secrets to his longevity. According to Dr. Gary Frazier's famous 34,000-person study, the average Seventh-day Adventist vegetarian male outlives their average male counterpart by 9.5 years. Must be the veggies, right? Not according to Dr. Warham.
The reason why the California Adventists outlive the general population, I think, is based largely on a spiritual basis. You have to come to this conclusion when you see that Frazier took and divided us up, and 50% of the Adventists in California eat meat. But the difference between the ones that ate meat and the ones that didn't was only 1.53 years. You have to put it down to more than vegetarianism.
It's the whole lifestyle that counts when assessing Seventh-day Adventist health, but individual habits deserve attention as well. According to Frazier's study, the most important habits for adding years to your life are as simple as eating a handful of nuts every day and exercising. Dr. Warham talks about his daily exercise regimen.
Now, about 20 years ago, out of Stanford, there came a paper, and this paper said if you climbed a flight of stairs 20 times a week, now that's only 3 times a day. Mm-hmm. You get me? It's pretty hard to live in a two-story house and not climb a flight of stairs 3 times a day, that you reduce your incidence of dying of heart disease by 46%.
Despite living through 2 wars and a long career as a heart surgeon, Dr. Warham feels he didn't have a stressed life. And his wife of 64 years backs that up too. She says she's only ever seen him stressed 1 time. We feel it's his philosophy on life that must be the most critical component to his longevity.
I'll take care of the things I can do something about, and the things I can't do anything about, I'll leave alone. You do the best you can, and that's it. All your being stressed doesn't improve the situation one bit.
Ultimately, it's the attitude and perspective you take on life that matters the most. Dr. Warham's closing thoughts really sum up his positive outlook on life and, of course, the pride he takes for his gardening.
You can take control of your life and achieve what you want to achieve. You've got to look at things in proportion and see the glass being half full, not half empty, you see. You want to come out and look at my backyard?
Yes. So there you have it. The keys, some of the keys, not all of the keys, but some of the keys to living a long life, a long healthy life. My guest today, Jeff Brown, is not in the healthiest place he could be, but his attitude is amazing. And he doesn't have the strength in his body, but he has a sharp mind and he's willing to have great conversations. And one thing he didn't mention is that he has taken all the vaccines and he listens to CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News regularly. So when that topic came up recently between Mr. Brown and I said, I'm not going to debate with him. I just listened to how he has had this fear presented to him about the disease. And being in a nursing home facility or assisted living, you have to do what they tell you to do. And so he has gone along with the medical procedures that are presented to him. And his health is not as good as it should be. But these are the people that I can talk to and have great conversations because I get to practice being a better listener. I'm a better listener when I talk to people like centenarians like Mr. Brown who have lived this life for a long time. And I think most of us would be most impressed about his 19-year journey with a wife who was in a nursing home and his daily visits faithfully for 19. That was the sweetness that left him, I think, that caused diabetes. When Louise Hay points out that diabetes is triggered or caused by deep sorrow, I recognize that Mr. Brown had to develop diabetes with that type of deep sorrow, a wife who he just loved so much and who ended up in a nursing home for 19 years. Oh, what sorrow is that? So there's just so much we can learn from these wonderful souls that reach a 100-year journey on this planet. So here is what I would sum up as the key factors to managing stress. As we heard, that's one of the things that centenarians do well, manage stress. Mr. Brown didn't manage his stress very well with his wife, and so his body manifested an imbalance with his sugar intake, and it caused diabetes, and he's on medication. He's on several medications, which I think is why he has slowed down more than, say, that doctor who was mowing his lawn and still carrying on, no medications. And my dad went 95 years, no medications, and he was still sharp in his mind. But here are my four key areas I think you should focus on to have longevity. Number one, music. Music has been in my life since I was a child. My dad used to play music, and as he got older, he wasn't listening to music so much as having a remote in his hand and looking at the TV, which I think was another factor that interfered with his longevity. Music, music, music. Find the music that brings peace to your soul, that reduces your stress or eliminates the stress. Music is key. Number two, meditation. Finding a quiet place every day to get away from the stress, to manage the stress, where you close your eyes and breathe and just be in quiet and listening to your music. But meditation in my life, I think, has been a really big factor. Number three, exercise. I think that was key. Mr. Brown pointed out playing golf was just so healing for him, so invigorating for him. This other guy, too many of them talking about how they move more, eat less. And then finally, the last M of moderation. Even in the Seventh-day Adventist lifestyle, some people are eating meat. And even in other lifestyles, people are drinking wine every day. In the blue zones, people are drinking wine. Moderation is so key to being able to enjoy your senior life. And then I would just add being able to make adjustments in your life and not stress over things that happen, circumstances that happen where you feel like you can't move, you can't make adjustments, you can't make different choices. As Mr. Brown had to decide, as his health became more challenging, as his energy level went down, he could no longer live in a three-bedroom house. This is a three-bedroom house with two bathrooms and a kitchen and dining room, maintain all that and go to the doctor, go grocery shopping. He did that well into his early 90s. And as his health changed, as his situations changed, the energy level, he had to make decisions. And I was right there with him trying to help him make decisions. I right away told him, you need to get rid of this house, sell this house. That was a challenge for him to accept, and he had to meditate on that for, I don't know, several months. I come back to his house, have you decided, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Maybe you could live, well, I'm glad to move into one of these bedrooms. No, that turned out to be not a good decision for him. And finally, he realized having a three-bedroom house all by yourself and trying to manage that in your 90s, get rid of it. Time to go. He decided finally to sell that house. He probably got close to $250,000, $300,000 for that house. The house was paid off. Remember, he bought that house in 1980s. And now he's in a facility. I can tell you he's paying $4,000 a month for that facility, but it takes care of all his needs. Chauffeur to the doctor, meals, three meals a day, a nurse, 24-hour nurse on duty, a nice, comfortable two-room apartment, all of that for $4,000 a month. I'm just planning to be right here with my son as long as I can, where I don't pay any rent at all. That's why I'm determined to stay healthy and help my family, help my son to manage his role as a father and to really get into being a grandmother and giving wisdom to my grandchildren. So we are at the end of the show. Oh, my goodness, I've let the time go. And we're going to play our thank you ending. Manage your stress, but make choices as you get older. What is best for you first?
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows. Listen to our radio shows. Order our books. And be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Cheche, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Jeonkunyeon, France, merci, Spain, gracias, Italy, grazie, Egypt, shukran, Ghana, merci, Nigeria, eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Geret, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Love you.
Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.
Time to get out of here.